Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Willie, Donick, D-Mace are here. Happy Monday. How we doing?
Good to have everybody back together in one place.
I know, seriously, the band is back together.
Yes,
I was in for Jared
is.
On Friday. Mm-hmm. Chase was in for D-Mace on Friday.
Man, we just had a revolving door.
It has been a revolving door in this time slot.
We're blaming Jared. Most of this revolving
door. Yeah, it's Jared's fault.
Let's even if it's not Jared's fault, we'll just blame it on Jared.
Yeah,
it's an easy target. Nick Frazier is here as well. Nick, how we doing?
Doing well. A crazy weekend, eventful weekend, and we're here all to talk about it for the upcoming week, right?
And I want to get your thoughts, your full breakdown of the game. You were on the field for the Nashville SC game over the weekend, saw Lionel Messi, Giannis in the flesh. So I want to get your thoughts on that. I want to get your full breakdown of your experience at the Nashville SC game. But I want to start here. Titans preseason game on Saturday night. Titans take down the Vikings 24-16. But do we really care about the score?
Nah, not
okay,
really.
Okay, me neither. Yeah. Okay, great. Overall takeaways. Thoughts, initial reactions to the game on Saturday night.
For me, I think defensively, they did a pretty good job defensively. Special teams need some work across the board. Offense, up and down. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was okay. And I think I know the reason why it was the way it was.
Why do you think so?
Because when you practice against a team for a few days, then you go into the game. You're not – they know you. They know the plays you've been running. And maybe you just go kind of go over that same script in your head as a play caller. You're going to run majority of those plays that you ran in practice. So maybe they got to beat on some things because you don't want to open it up too much as an offense. But to me, I think had they not practiced against Minnesota, I think the offense would have flowed a little bit better. Mm-hmm. From a pass standpoint, run game did really good. Offensive line, they did their job. They held up, which is great. That's one of those deals where it's like, whew, okay, mm-hmm. All right, improvement. I'm encouraged. But the passing game wasn't succinct. It didn't flow as well. And I think it is because they practiced against Minnesota. And Minnesota knew some of their tendencies because they practiced the day before against each other. So that may have caused Tim Kelly not to open up the playbook a lot because it just seemed like some of the things they did in the first game, they didn't even do in the second game. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it was real vanilla, this second game, like really vanilla.
Which was kind of surprising considering how many starters were in on Saturday. And, you know, mm-hmm. You didn't see D-Hop. Obviously, no Treylon Burks as he's suffering with an injury, but we did see Chig out there. We saw more starters this past weekend than we saw the weekend before. But I don't know if it was – I don't know how much credit I can give Minnesota's defense, to be honest with you. Because the passing game was rough. Mm-hmm. Malik Willis, in part, I think is culpable for that. And the receivers were culpable for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Chig disappointed me this weekend.
I was disappointed in him as well.
And you're going to have games like that, so I'm not going to hold it, you know, like I'm not going to hold it against him for the whole year and say, oh, my goodness, I'm rethinking this whole Chig thing. I think he'd be fine. But he did disappoint in a situation where two big catches, we would have looked at the offense a little bit different had he come down with those two catches. And then the pass Malik threw, I believe it was to – he one-hopped it to – was it Chris Moore coming across? No, it wasn't Chris
Westbrook
Moore.
Kine.
Yeah,
Westbrook,
Westbrook Kine. Kine.
That
coming
was
across,
a
yeah. It was just like
– atrocious throw.
You can't miss that. You just can't miss that. So the two drops by Chig, the missed throw by Willis.
Interception.
The interception, which was a –
it was a bad interception.
I understand. And you got to look at it. I understand why he threw it. If you look at the whole play, the linebacker did a hell of a job. And you know why he did a hell of a job? Because he's a veteran linebacker. He understands what's going on. It looked man across. It looked like he was running man-to-man across the field with him. He turned his back and everything. So when Willis comes off the play action, he sees the back of the guy's head. That defender just made a smart play. He knew that guy was coming across, and he peeled off because the safety was over the top. He peeled off. Even Ryan Tannehill was fooled like that once last year. When you see that guy running across and you think it's man-man, so that backside in route is coming across and I can throw it right on time. He took his hitch, getting ready to throw it, threw it. That linebacker peeled right off, intercepted the ball. Great play by the linebacker. Maybe Willis should have hesitated on the throw just a little bit, just to kind of wait for that linebacker to clear the zone. But the minute he rolled that receiver down the middle of the field, and then he turned his back and he fell. It was sort of he fell into the interception, but it was just a good play by the linebacker. It's a hell of a play. Willis shouldn't have thrown it. He should have possibly saw it, but I understand why he threw it, because he's looking at man to man. But he has to look at the whole field, because I think parts of it was showing a man and parts of it was showing a zone, and he only ran the man. He only read the man part.
I think the biggest positive for the first two games is that there's optimism for the offensive line, which is the biggest question mark that they have, hands down. It's number one. For them to have any chance to be good, that offensive line has got to be quite a bit better than it was last year. And we can't overdo it here, but there's at least some cause for optimism. They look like they're gelling some. They did some good things. And like you said, Derek, for this offense to do what it's supposed to do, they're going to need to run the ball well, and there's some signs that they're going to be able to run the ball, especially when they get Derrick Henry back there. Tajay Spears looks really good. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's got exactly what they've been looking for. I want to see a little bit more of what he can do as a pass catcher, because ultimately, for him to be on the field, he's going to need to be in there third downs. And I want to see them throw it to him, but we probably aren't going to see that in the preseason games. But man, the guy can go.
He's quick.
He can go.
He's a get up and go, like almost like you blink and he's already at full speed. Quick little horsepower.
Yeah, and
not easy
to bring down.
No,
right?
He's
running over. Shifty. He's jumping. He's shifty. He can. You know, I've seen him drive the pile a little bit. So everything looks good so far with him.
It does. And this is the dynamic that I wanted to see last year when they had Dontrell Hilliard. Because Dontrell Hilliard, he's sort of the older version of Tajay Spears. He's a guy that can run between the tackles, but he's effective in space, and he can get outside and catch the football. This is the part of the offense that I was waiting on, you know, for a large part of last season, and it didn't come on until toward the end of the season. Well, now they're going to have to rely on it heavy this season, and I think it puts the defense at a disadvantage when you can have a guy not only that can run between the tackles, but he also can catch the ball on the outside. I think what's going to make it even more effective is if he becomes a reliable pass blocker. Because now if he becomes a reliable pass blocker, I could put he and Derrick Henry on the field together. Now, you don't know whether I'm giving the ball to Derrick Henry or I'm throwing it to Tajay Spears. You just don't know. But I just need to see more of him blocking as a running back.
Yeah, and traditionally, if it is the conventional way on third and six or seven, when it's not quite the situation where you feel like you could give it to Derrick Henry, that like an obvious passing situation, pass protection is very important for Tajay Spears. We say that every year for especially young running backs. Doesn't always happen right away. The understanding of who to block, can they do it? I don't know how much he was asked to do that at Tulane. He had the ball a lot. How much was he pass protecting? That's a good X factor right there. But, you know, as the guy with the ball, Tajay Spears can do some things with the ball, and that's a good sign.
It really did feel like almost like a tale of two offenses on Saturday night. Like, the run game was electric. I mean, as a team, Titans rushed for just shy of 300 yards on Saturday night between Malik Willis, Tajay Spears, Julius Chestnut with a great day and a couple of touchdowns. So I thought the run game looked fantastic. And to your point, Willie, credit to the offensive line for opening up some of those holes so the run game could contribute as much as it did. But the other side of that was the passing game looked rough. Mm-hmm. Like, the passing game was disappointing. And it was part of the receivers. Like, where were kind of the fringe roster guys that really need to stand out in these joint practices and these preseason games? Like, Gavin Holmes or Treshawn Harrison or guys like that. Like, where were they mm-hmm. on Saturday night? I didn't see any of those fringe 53-man roster receivers try to step up to make plays. But it's not just on the receivers. I mean, Malik Willis is not innocent in the passing game. There were several balls that he threw that I thought, like, one, where are you going? Or two, where's the touch on that ball? Like, that ball that he threw to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Yeah. Like, what? Ooh. What? That's the second in a week in a row. Mm-hmm. I'll say, you know, this past week with that throw to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine that just kind of went up and then fell short. It was almost like a rainbow when he had an incredibly clean pocket, when he had a long time to throw, when Nick Westbrook-Ikhine was wide open. And then going back to the game against Chicago, you know, that interception to Josh Wiley, he had a clean pocket, he had all day to throw, and he just put too much mustard on it and it got intercepted. 2 weeks in a row where he has thrown very puzzling balls that I just don't quite know where he's going. And I get it if you're under pressure, or I get it if, you know, it's kind of a 50-50 ball that you're throwing to your receiver. But in both of those instances, you had a whole lot of time, and your receiver was wide open.
Well, he's trying to on each one of those throws, and I think more particular, the throw this past Saturday. I think he was trying to make it a perfect throw instead of throwing the guy open. Mm-hmm. He's trying to throw it to him. The encouraging part about this, even if it was Will Levis, is that he knows where he's going. Mm-hmm. He's reading the defense. So the ball that he threw to the guy, it was the right play.
It was the right play.
He just got to try not to – don't try to make it a perfect throw. I think what Will is sometimes is that when the pocket's clear – he has nobody around him. He tries to make that perfect throw. He tries to throw it on the receiver instead of throwing it to a spot and allowing the receiver to go get it, which I call throw a guy open. He's trying to make perfect throws when nothing's around him. Whereas just treat it like – because he throws a different ball when people are around him mm-hmm. than when people are not.
Right.
It seems like he thrives when people are around him. And he just throws. He just lets it rip. But when it's a clean pocket for some, I think he gets too much in his head. Like, I got to make the perfect throw. And he tries to throw it to the guy instead of throwing it to a space. Because that would have been a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That would have been another one that would have been a touchdown. Had you thrown it closer to the sideline, threw it away from the receiver, the safety was on top, but he was behind. You throw it to the guy, that's either a touchdown or first and goal at like the 2-yard line.
So I think, you know, there's several things that we can and will continue mm-hmm. to break down and peel back some of the stories of the game. Special teams, not great mm-hmm. on Saturday. Defense looked solid. Offensive line looks encouraging. But overall, the story of the game on Saturday, it was the Malik Willis show. So I want to continue the conversation about Malik coming up next. What we saw that we liked, what we saw that we didn't. And if and when that day comes that Malik Willis has to take over under center, how do we feel about it? At this point in his development. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It is your day, your reactions, your thoughts, your concerns, or the things that you're encouraged about from this Titans team after the preseason game against Minnesota. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. 1025-1063, the game.
You ever do some things with your legs, too? I mean, what's the balance like when you can do that and keep drive alive?
It helps. It helps not only myself, but it helps the whole offense. As we can get going, we can convert some first downs or some third downs, some second downs, and we just keep staying in front of the sticks. That's what we didn't do in the first half.
That was Malik Willis post-game on Saturday night. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. It was the Malik Willis show on Saturday, and I'm glad that they let Malik have the full game. Will Levis left practice early on Thursday with what was called a lower body injury, so thank you to our official NHL insider, Paul Kaharski, for that report there on Will Levis's lower body injury. And so this is what Adam and I were talking about on Friday when I was filling in for Jared. was, you know, if Levis can go, then what do we want them to do? Mm-hmm. If Levis can't go, I said, let Malik run with it. Let him have the full game. And so many people were saying, no, you can't have him play the full game. That's crazy. That's crazy. Well, there might come a time if and when Malik Willis, I'll say if Malik Willis wins the backup quarterback job, that he's going to have to go in and not just quarterback one full game, quarterback a few full games. So let him get the experience. Let him go out there and make mistakes and get a sample size that you can continue to coach going into this preseason game against New England.
You just made me think of something. Do you I would guess, without knowing, if somebody asked the trivia question, like on SportsCenter or whatever, who has played the most preseason snaps of any NFL quarterback over the last 2 years, I guarantee you Malik is in the top two or three.
He would have to be.
Has anybody played more than him?
I mean, has anyone played, has any backup quarterback or any quarterback period played an entire preseason game?
Well, he go back to last year. He's played, I think, four almost full games. Like Logan Woodside was only getting in there at the end of the game.
Right. Like maybe the last quarter.
I'm not even sure Woodside played in one or two of the games. Didn't Malik play a full game last year?
Yeah. He played lot of last preseason. So
he's getting a great opportunity that a lot of quarterbacks would die for. To get in there.
Especially backup quarterbacks that are trying to find a job. And Malik has gotten that opportunity. First, I want to give kudos to you for breaking the story.
Thank you.
About Will Levis.
Thank you.
Friday. So good. That was great, Caroline.
Eat your heart out, Adam Schefter.
We have Caroline.
Thank you,
Demis.
Thank you.
But looking at Willis and – we were discussing this because you brought up something you and Chase talked about Friday, Willie. Had we never seen Malik Willis last year, what would our thoughts be of him now? I think it would be totally different. We wouldn't be gushing over him or anything and saying he needs to be a starter, no. But I think had he never set foot in a regular season game we would look at his progress a little bit different. We would look at it like, okay, this kid from when we saw him last year in preseason, and he did okay in preseason last year. He got better each game, incrementally better. It wasn't like he jumped from 1 to 10 and then 10 to 20. No, it was just small steps he was taking each game. But had he not played last year, I think we would be looking at him a lot different. It may be even looking at him, okay, this kid can be a solid backup quarterback. And maybe, just maybe, they may not have drafted Will Levis this season. They probably would have waited to the next following season. But be as it may, he did play, didn't look good. But what he has done and what I am seeing from him is, one, he has a lot of confidence.
A lot more than he did last year.
Yeah, a lot more than – it seems like he has a better grasp of the offense. I think Charles London is doing a great job with him, and I'm sure he's doing the same thing with Will Levis and Ryan Tannehill, but we haven't seen much of those two quarterbacks. But I think you got to take your hat off to what Charles London is doing, because not only did Willis come in ready and prepared to make a jump, but I think because of Charles London and Tim Kelly that he's able to make that jump, and we're able to – it's one thing to think about, okay, I'm doing it, but then it's another to actually go on the field and do it. Well, because of Charles London, Tim Kelly, and Malik Willis, I think you're starting to see a quarterback that, I'm not saying he could be a starter in this league, but hell, if you could be a career backup, that's a damn good job too. So I think he's doing a really good job, but there are still some things he needs to get better at, if indeed he wants to. Like, we feel good about him if he has to go into a game, you know, two or three games, if Ryan Tannehill goes down.
I think if your bar is set of, can this guy be a solid backup, that's a completely different thing to who is the successor to Ryan Tannehill. And so there's a lot of different ways we're trying to assess that, because it's like, okay, you got to play this season right now, so who's your backup? That's an immediate question you've got to find out the answer to in a couple of weeks. Then you've got the long-range question of, I got two guys here. They're both vying to be the successor for Ryan Tannehill. Who's got the higher ceiling? And so on that level, I would like to see more improvement. I want to see more from Will Levis because we haven't really seen a whole lot unless you've been at practice every day. But I do see a lot of gains with Willis. And I can envision this. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that just picks apart a defense, knows everything that's going on, just because of the offense he played in college. Mm-hmm. He's still got a long way to go in that area. But yeah, he's going to continue to get better year by year if you stick with him for that. But in the meantime, what could he do for a half a game or two games that maybe he couldn't do last year? Hopefully he's gained enough. One of the things that Aaron Schatz has in his almanac is if you look back to his start that they won in Houston, there were a couple simple throws he made early, and then after a while it was like there was one shaky one over the middle, and then they shut it down, right? They basically stopped throwing the ball. It's like, just don't throw it. We have the lead. We think we can sneak this out by just not even trying to
run the clock out.
Yeah, it's not like they scored 34 points, but they ran it well enough, and their defense was good enough. They eked it out. But from there, it was kind of like the big question is the middle of the field, right? Can he – like the interception was kind of a flashback to that to me. It's like you said, he got fooled, but will that be a lot better this year? Hopefully it'll be better. It should be better. But is it still to the point where he's deciphering that? That is what I want to see more growth in. I also don't see a guy that has a lot of touch on his throws. And I don't know how much better that's going to get. Like the balls that Okonkwo missed, Okonkwo's got to catch those, at least one of them. Like one.
He has to catch both.
I knew Derek was going to say that. I'm a little more with Charles Davis of let's split the difference. You have to catch one. You probably feel like if you're Jake, you should have caught both. But again, both of those throws are laser beams that are not on the money. You know, I don't see that as a strength for Willis. Need more gains in that. What I like the most, if he just goes in there, and I don't think he did this last year. I see him saying, okay, the pocket's broken down. I'm going to keep my eyes up. I'm going to keep the defense honest, but I'm running, and you can't stop me. I'm fast enough. I can run over a smaller guy, and I can be really effective doing that. If that's what you do as a backup quarterback, and that's your tool to succeed for two or three games, then that's all you can ask for a backup quarterback. That's good backup quarterback.
And that's right? Why I think it's
now, is that successor to Ryan Tannehill? I don't know.
And that's what I think it's important whenever we talk about Malik to clarify what perspective we're looking at it in. If you're looking at Malik Willis and his growth from last year to this year, you could say he's doing great, you know, because he looks more confident. He runs with more confidence. We were talking about this at the break when I said last year everyone was talking about how great he was as a runner. I didn't see that because every time he took off to run, he was incredibly hesitant. It was almost like he would sidestep a little bit. This year, when he takes off to run, he's doing it with more confidence because I think he does it with a better understanding of the offense. Of, I know that I need to go through my progressions. I went through my progressions. The look wasn't there, so I'm going. And I think, too, just his presence in the pocket and how he's a lot more calm. Mm-hmm. Just, I think in every single aspect of his game, he looks better. He is a much improved quarterback from last year to this year. Now, that's not to say that he doesn't have a whole lot of improvement to go, because he does. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is Malik Willis versus Will Levis of who is going to be the backup quarterback this season. And then Malik Willis in his potential. You know, is Malik Willis's ceiling, like you said, a backup quarterback? Which if you were a career backup quarterback, fine. There's nothing to, you know, scoff at.
Mm-hmm. But there's value there.
There is value there, absolutely. But that's a completely different conversation of can Malik Willis be a certified starting quarterback in the NFL where he is one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the league? I don't quite see that yet, and I would be surprised if he got there. But I think that's all different ways to frame the conversation.
I think we should add this, too. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be a guy that is going to hit the layups, right, I think that's what you want to see that he hasn't done yet. Hit the layups when the passes are there. If you scheme your way into some good throws, take those. Hopefully you're playing with a good running game behind you. Mm-hmm. That's what your expectation is of this team. Then the other thing he's got to do, he cannot turn the ball over. He He had three interceptions last year, threw an interception the other night. He also fumbles the ball. He's fumbling too much. Now, is that all
that
on him?
That last one wasn't on him, the one this past
game.
But
I'm looking at not just one particular play in these games. I'm looking at my overall evaluation on him.
And there are fumbles that he doesn't lose,
Mike Vrabel,
but he still
you're
fumbles.
Hearing. Yes. Well, see, that's the thing is he had three fumbles last year, three interceptions, and he's had a couple of fumbles this year in the preseason, which, you know, you can say, look, the guy snuck up behind him, got his hand in there. Some of that's just happenstance, but you hear Mike Vrabel kind of giving you that way. One of the fumbles last year was on the play. He just came in for the one play, the third down. They tried a little gadget.
Oh, that was so bad.
Yeah, and I know that's but these are the things. Like, you don't want to have a reputation for he fumbles, right? But he has put the ball on the ground for one reason or another. He's got to cut down on those, especially if you're going to be running around a lot.
And that is something that Mike Vrabel has hammered on, especially last season coming off of that three-interception game from Ryan Tannehill against the Bengals, was we have to take care of the football. That's one of our top priorities for our quarterback, take care of the football. But Malik Willis, it was a Malik Willis show, plus the Mason Kinsey show at the end of the game on Saturday. But it was the Malik Willis show. He got, let's just say, the entire game, with the exception of a couple of snaps that Mason Kinsey took at the end of the game in garbage time. But where does the backup quarterback battle stand after Saturday night? We'll get into that coming up next. Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this September 14th through 17th with the Simmons Bank Open at the Grove Club. Text the keyword OPEN, O-P-E-N, now to 615-737-1025 and enter to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink. 1025-1063, the game.
But played fast. You know, when he took off, was decisive. You know, continue improving with the timing of things and making sure that he's going through his progression so that his timing is there. You know, I'm sure he'd like to have the one back from Nick Westbrook. You know, probably just pulled the string on a little bit.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel at the podium yesterday. What he saw from Malik Willis, what he liked, what he still thinks he has to improve upon. And I, you know, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I feel like we all kind of stepped away from that game on Saturday night with similar sentiments as Mike Vrabel. Like, look, the improvement is obvious. You can see the strides that he's taken since this past season. But there's absolutely still a lot to work on with Malik Willis. Some progress has been made, but there's still progress that's left to be made. But after what we saw on Saturday night, where does the backup quarterback battle stand? And it's difficult to evaluate that, right? Because we didn't get to see Will Levis on Saturday. He was out with this mysterious lower body injury. But your best ability is your availability, and he was not available on Saturday night.
No. No, he wasn't. And, you know, that's something that, you know, the Titans are, you know, hopefully he's able to play in this last preseason game. Hopefully they saw enough in him, you know, in the joint practices with the Minnesota that they sort of got a good evaluation of where he's at this particular time. But it's nothing like playing in an actual game. I just look at these two individuals, and I think at this point, unless Will Levis does something extraordinary in this last preseason game, if he does play, I think Malik Willis is the backup quarterback. Now, listen, things could change once you get in the season. That's just how it is. Nothing's in ink. It's not like, okay, I write your name, Malik Willis, in ink. I can't erase it. You are the backup quarterback behind Ryan Tannehill.
It can be fluid.
No matter. Yeah, exactly. So I think they go, again, unless Will Levis, you know, does some extraordinary in his last game that they're seeing and they're projecting, and they say, okay, we're just going to make him our backup quarterback and deal with it from there. But short of that, I think you go into the season with Malik Willis as your backup quarterback. And, again, when you get in the game, if he has to play and things are not flowing as well as you want to, you can always throw Levis in there. And see how things go, because they're going to keep three quarterbacks. So I think naming of the backup quarterback is more so for us than anything. But I think they go in thinking, okay, we make Willis the backup, but if something happens, if it's not going as well, we can always throw Will Levis in there. Just make sure he knows what's going on. Make sure, you know, he's up to speed with everything. And if we got to throw him in, then we're going to throw him in. But I think if in a perfect world, Vrabel probably wouldn't name a backup. He would do something like that.
Yeah.
He's like, nope. Both of the guys.
Vrabel wouldn't even want to name a starter.
Exactly. So, but I think it's more so, you know, for the league and us. Name your backup. Oh, Willis is the backup and go from there. But it can change.
I still think we should stress that Willis is still benefiting. Now, some people differ with me on this. And you might. Willis, to me, is still benefiting from having gone through it for a year. Now, the counter argument, and I can't remember, D-Mace, it might have been you that got in an argument with me last week. We had a lot of different shows, different combinations of us last week, so I can't remember everything. But at some point, you know, because they said the equalizer is that, well, Willis is still catching up from playing in the scheme. I think it was Teron that made this point. Willis is still learning because he looked over on the sideline from the shotgun, got the play, ran the play. There was no processing, right? Mm-hmm. He's had to start from square one on how to run an NFL offense. So I get that. I hadn't thought about that as much, whereas Levis had played in more of a pro offense.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But still, I still think you cannot substitute for having gone through the speed of the league for a full year, mm-hmm. have it under your belt, the nerves, the comfort level. I still think there's something to be said for Willis has an advantage because he's been in it longer than Levis. I still think Levis is going to make a run here if given the chance. Willis, I think, kind of missed an opportunity to really look sharp and say, that's my job. You know, I've won this job. So I still, it kind of left me saying, well, let me see Will Levis a little bit more. Let me see what he can do in the third preseason game, and then let's go from there. Because where they are today also is not where they might be after 8 weeks, after 12 weeks. Like you were saying, D-Makes, it's only semantics who you say is the backup right now. Because it could change.
And I do think it is a good sign for Will Levis. When Mike Vrabel was asked on Sunday when he was at the podium what kind of the future plan with the quarterback position is there going to be a need to sign another quarterback? This was Vrabel. No, Mike Vrabel.
No.
Yeah, essentially, no.
He said no.
Mike Vrabel said, no, we're good. So I do think that that is a positive sign for Will Levis. That one, injury-wise, that it's not so bad that you're going to have to go out and find another quarterback, that Will Levis is going to be out for months and months and months. Also, TD put out a video of Will Levis. He was warming up, throwing passes. He was suited up, and he was walking without a boot on. So I think that those are all very positive things for Will Levis that we can all hope, or at least hypothesize, that it may have just been like a muscle tweak, maybe a hamstring tweak, that it wasn't his foot that he had previously injured around the draft time or in college. So I think that's a positive thing for Will Levis. But he missed out on a really great opportunity. And can he make up for lost time this week? And that, I don't know the answer to. But if he can't, if Malik Willis wins this backup quarterback job for right now, do you think that's going to be a disappointment that Will Levis doesn't win the job?
I'm only, you know, giving you my opinion. These are my thoughts. I don't think it's a disappointment, you know, because you just got to understand this league, and it's a lot for a rookie quarterback to come in and sort of consume an offense and then not only consume it but go out there and orchestrate the offense the way it's supposed to be. There's a lot of moving parts. So I don't think it's a disappointment if Will Levis isn't named the backup quarterback to Ryan Tannehill. That just tells me he needs some more growing to do in this game. And Malik Willis, because he was drafted a year early, he was able to kind of grow into the situation that he was in. Looked bad last year, worked on his craft, came back this year, new OC, new quarterbacks coach, and he looks far different from what he did last year. Well, he's being a professional. He's getting better every year. If we fast forward this another year, I would tend to believe, because of Charles London, because of Tim Kelly, that Will Levis will look better next year at this time than he does this year. So I don't think it'll necessarily be a disappointment, because look, Willis was 10 for 17 last the other night. If Chig catches two balls and he hits Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, then it's possibly 13 for 17 with two touchdowns. We're looking at it a whole different way now.
It has a better feel to it,
yeah,
for sure.
There's no – we're not saying, did he take over the backup quarterback job or not. It's he is the backup quarterback now based upon that performance, but it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So now we're sitting back and saying, well – who's going to be the backup quarterback here? Because obviously Malik Willis had an opportunity to take it and run with it. He took it and sort of slow trotted with it instead of running as if it was a 100-yard dash. Mm-hmm. He ran it more so as if this thing was a 2-mile relay.
He took it and ran with it when he should have taken it and thrown with it.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. That.
But I thought the running was a positive. Uh-huh. And I
yes,
know
yeah.
You're sitting there going, I want to see you throw it. I want to see you go through the reads. So I'm sure the coaches are going through each play mm-hmm. and saying, okay, Malik, that was a nice run. But look, you had this over here. If you go through this read, you might have had this over here. That's way more important than the end stats, whether he was 10 for 17 or 13 for 17, even though
those would have been big shot. Those would have been chunk plays.
No question. But, it does illustrate where he is right now. So I think what we're not going to know is how did he grade? Mm-hmm. Besides, the actual numbers, completions, yards, all that stuff for fantasy purposes, how did the coaches grade his decisions? Mm-hmm. How are they seeing his passes? Are his touches better than it was last year? How's he releasing the balls? Mechanics? Is he making good inroads there? I think we can all observe and say, okay, he's throwing the ball better this year. I still think he's got a long way to go, and I don't know if it's ever going to be a strength. But the reads and the process, that's what I can't really know. D-Mace would have a better idea of that by looking at the all 22. Mm-hmm. But the coaches are the ones that they're calling the play. They know what he should be seeing. That's what we don't really know, is what was the decision-making on some of those throws. So all of that to say, I'm curious. I'd like to see, just from where I sit, I'd like to see Levis play an extended period in the third game, whether it's the whole second half or the second and third quarter, whatever they decide to do. But I just want to see a lot of him in this last game just to see how he does in a game-like situation. Because here is something to think about in the short term. You could argue that despite all of the crap that they dealt with injuries all across the team, if they had gotten better backup quarterback play last year, they still would have eked out the division.
Yes.
You could say that they lost the division because they had very subpar backup quarterback play.
If Malik Willis played last year like he's playing now in the preseason, you would have won the division.
Mm-hmm.
You would have beat the Chiefs. You would have eked out at least one more win that you needed to push yourself over the division.
And let's not forget that they could have decided to put Logan Woodside in there even after they took a look at Malik Willis.
Oh,
he was still out there
and
until the end
have.
Of the season.
They
well,
should have.
In retrospect, hindsight is 20/20. I'm curious of what that would have looked like. They never gave Logan Woodside a chance in a real game to see if he was any better. To the point where he was gone and they had to try Josh Dobbs. And we know what that looked like. It was better than Willis, but it wasn't good enough.
And whatever they would have done at the backup quarterback position had they not gone down the road of Malik Willis, still, Malik Willis had no business being on the field this time last year. Or not this time last year, but really just this past season.
So that can't happen again this year. You
Correct.
Know what I'm saying? To me, that's the expectation, is I want to see better backup play. There has to be.
And I don't think that you can call it a disappointment if Will Levis doesn't win the backup job, the quarterback two job. Mm-hmm. I know that the Levis haters and the, you know, the big orange faithful are going to be loud about how in the world did we waste a high second round draft pick on a guy who can't even be a backup? What a disappointment. What a waste of a draft pick. I can already hear it now. But I'm just here to tell you, it's not a disappointment if he doesn't win it. It would be a disappointment if Will Levis can't ultimately be the starting quarterback of this of the Tennessee Titans, but we're not going to know the answer to that tomorrow or next week or even this season. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get into your thoughts on this. Our text lines are loaded, so we're right to your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, the game?
I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't imagine us needing to sign a quarterback.
And there you go. That was Mike Vrabel at the podium yesterday. Don't need to sign another quarterback, which I think is good news on Will Levis's front. Means that his injury is not so bad that it'll keep him out for weeks to months. I'm guessing it was probably just a tweak, and you might see Will Levis this weekend. That's not based off of anything that I have heard. It's just simply my own opinion. But let's get into your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Anything is on the table. Your reaction to the game on Saturday. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. Pressure 119 is on the line with a thought on Logan Woodside. What's up, Pressure?
Not as Usher 119. What's going on, y'all?
What's happening?
Hey, Willie, you brought something up, man, that, you know, I really want to address. I think that if the Titans would have just, I mean, circumvented the whole situation last year and just put Willis on IR and made Woodside the second string quarterback, they would have had Willis. I mean, they would have had Woodside still. They plucked him off of the practice squad because they were trying to hide him. But I think that, and if that would have happened, I'm sure that Woodside would have won at least one game against Jacksonville, would have put us in the playoffs, or two games in that seven game losing streak, we would have been in the playoffs. Hey, Willie, man, I want to also say proud of you, man. I don't know if you remember me, but I was ushered down at for the Predators, and I remember when you were the sideline reporter for them, man, and we had a good time. Proud of you, man. Give Aaron and the kid my love, man.
I will. Good to hear from you.
Awesome. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. I think we can talk a lot about what could have gone differently, yeah. What could have been better for this Tennessee Titans team this past year. But the more important thing for me is, what are you going to do this season with the backup quarterback to avoid the situation that you put yourselves in this past year?
I think they're already ahead of, you know, the curve, so to speak, than what they were last year. That whole deal last year was a debacle. I truly believe it was just mishandled wrong for whatever reason. And I don't know whose fault it is, because I'm not going to solely put it on John Robinson just because he was the GM and you drafted him. But everybody is culpable in what happened last year. Head coach, offensive coordinators, GMs, everyone. But I think this year they're ahead of the curve because of, you know, the way Malik Willis came back. You know, he's a professional. He took his job seriously. He knew exactly what happened last year. And instead of, you know, pounding and pouting and complaining, and sort of getting down on himself, he went out and he worked. And then the Titans, what was I screaming last year? The quarterback's coach. I wasn't a big fan of the quarterback's coach. I just wasn't. Because to me, your job is to, you know, look at the backup quarterbacks and help get those guys to a position where they can be more than suitable starters if need be. They can come in and get the job done, maybe for a quarter, maybe for a game, maybe for two. Not too long because you're a backup. But I don't think the quarterback's coach did a good enough job with Malik Willis last year, or Logan Woodside either, because my thing is, if you did a good enough job, Malik wouldn't have been in that position to be a backup quarterback. So obviously, and I said this last year, they did not develop Woodside the way that they should have.
Is that on the quarterback's coach or is that on John Robinson?
It's the quarterback's coach. John Robinson just helps evaluate the quarterbacks, along with the scouts, all these players.
But it's John Robinson's decision to move on from Logan Woodside.
I think it's a combination of GM, head coach, coaching staff. I don't think it was just John Robinson saying, get rid of Logan Woodside, and Vrabel, you have no say in this, or anybody else. No, I think they had a say in it, but they felt that, okay, Malik may not be there, but hopefully, cross our fingers, we don't need him. Well, you needed him. And it was the quarterback's coach job to make sure that he was ready enough to – he didn't need to look like the starter, at least it would have been great if he did, but he needed to look as if he could command a huddle. And last year, Malik Willis didn't look like – this year, it looks much different. Why? Because I think the work he put in offseason, and because of Tim Kelly and Charles London. They are making sure that Malik Willis and Will Levis will be ready if they do need to play. They're hoping they don't. But if they do need to play, either one of these quarterbacks will look nothing like they did last year, meaning Malik Willis.
That's the idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you can hope. And I think that, you know, just the conversations that we've had about the backup quarterbacks this offseason, they feel completely different than what we had, the conversations were last season. Because the conversations we were having last season were, if Ryan Tannehill gets injured, this team is absolutely, positively screwed.
And they were.
And they were screwed. Mm-hmm. The conversations we're having now is, which of these two quarterbacks can come in and best help this team win if Ryan Tannehill goes down with an injury? Very different tone. And I think it just shows that how much better of a position these quarterbacks are in year over year. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, scary injury in the Patriots preseason game over the weekend. And now the Patriots and Titans joint practices have been canceled. What does that mean for the Titans and how they approach this upcoming week of practice? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. And hey, tune into 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Saturday for the return of Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will kick off at 6:30 p.m. at home against Hawaii, with pregame beginning at 5 p.m. You can hear all the coverage on 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com.